Welcome again to our studies on Know the Bible. We're in a section called the Minor Prophets, and in particular, we're looking at the book of Zephaniah. Now, the history of Israel is divided into certain categories, and we have the time of the law, which was the time of Moses. We have the time of the judges that followed that time when the children of Israel came into the land. We have then the monarchical period when David and Solomon reigned over united Israel. Then we have the time of the divided kingdom when Judah and Israel, the northern 10 tribes, were separated. And then we have the fall of Israel in 722 BC. And then we have the Assyrian period, when the Assyrian Empire was at its peak and essentially under Sennacherib, who besieged Jerusalem in the reign of King Hezekiah. And then after the fall of Nineveh, we have what are called the Chaldean period, when the Babylonians came and had the ascendancy over the land. Now then, Zephaniah prophesied prior to that period. He prophesied during the period when the Assyrians were waning, their power was diminishing, and the Babylonians were coming up. And it's called the pre-Chaldean period. In other words, the Babylonians had not yet had the ascendancy over the Assyrians, and it was a time in Judah when the good king Josiah had come to the throne. Now then, at that period, there were three young men in their 20s. Josiah had come to the throne at the age of 8. But in the 13th year of his reign, when he would have been 21, something like that, Jeremiah started to prophesy. And a little after came Zephaniah. And these three young men spearheaded the greatest revival that Israel had ever known. Josiah was king over almost the whole land now, because the Assyrians had fallen back to defend their capital city against the Chaldeans who were coming up the river and coming towards Nineveh. So there was a time of peace, if I could say that. And it was a time of great revival. Josiah set his heart to seek the Lord at the age of 16. And then, a little after that, when he was in his 20s, then came the revival. Well, it speaks, of course, prophetically, of the fact that there will come a great revival, because that great revival in the days of Josiah came before, if I could say this, before the Chaldeans or the Babylonians came down and besieged Jerusalem. So this is what we're anticipating. Throughout the world, the church is praying, revive, revive thy church in the midst of years. You know, give us the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that you promised the church, to bring her to perfection in these last days. Well, we're going to look at Zephaniah now. And Zephaniah is actually a descendant of King Hezekiah. He is a prophet of the royal household and therefore had access to the palace and also knew, of course, firsthand of the lifestyle of the people surrounding the king. How am I going to say this? You know, we have these three young men who were spearheading this revival. But, you know, I have seen it in my life. I've seen national revivals. And those at the top who are spearheading it, you know, are on fire for God, and they want God at any price, and they want to wholeheartedly follow him. But you do have those who, looking at the way God is moving, say, well, that's very wonderful, but really our heart is not for that. We want a lower level. And they have to follow the leaders because the leaders are being blessed by God. But their own heart is not really with it. And that is the situation you see at the time of Zephaniah, Josiah, and Jeremiah. That these three young men were all out for God. But around them, the people of God were very lukewarm. And the cry, you see, of Zephaniah was this. You know, that essentially the princes, the underleaders, were not walking uprightly. And Zephaniah cries out against them. And a very interesting thing, he says, you're wearing strange apparel. Chapter 1, verse 8. Strange apparel. Now, in the natural, what was happening? There were two great powers, Egypt to the south and Babylon, well, to the east and north. And the princes of Judah in Jerusalem were wearing either Babylonian dress or Egyptian dress. Some were saying, well, our competence is in Egypt and I'm dressing as an Egyptian. Or my competence is in Babylon and I'm dressing as a Babylonian. Strange apparel. They weren't dressing as the people of God in Israelitish dress. They weren't dressing in holy garments. They were dressing in these heathen garments. Do you know that's very much like the church today? So many in the church are clothed, as it were, with worldly garments. They're saying, let us be as the world. Let us do as the world wants. Let us ask the world what they would like to see in the church. My, that's the people's church. You know, we thought it was Christ's church. You know, in other words, to say to the Lord, how do you want us to act? What do you want us to be clothed upon with? Well, in Colossians, and perhaps we could turn to that if you have your Bibles, and I realize this is being shown at a time when you're probably having breakfast or something like that. But, you know, essentially, you know, what clothing should we be having, you see? Well, we are told in chapter 3 of Colossians, verse 12, to put on holy garments, bowels of mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, forbearance, forgiveness, you see, and love. That's what the church should be wearing, those kinds of garments. Not the garments of the world. The music, the worship should be God-orientated, not to the world. We don't want strange music, strange apparel, strange messages in the church. We want them Bible-inspired. We want them to come from the throne of God. As Peter says, as messengers of God, we want to speak as the oracles of God. As King David said, let my sentence come from thy presence. We don't want to wear strange apparel. Well, he gives this solemn warning to those who do, that that day, the great day of the Lord, which they're all wanting, will be a day of judgment, a day of gloom. It'll be a day of wrath, trouble, distress. Verse 15, I'm reading in chapter 1, wastefulness and desolation, a day of darkness, gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. Where he said, the Lord said, I will bring distress upon men, that they shall walk like blind men. You know, God's judgment will come upon us if we wear strange apparel. But in chapter 2, and these verses were quickened to me some 45 years ago when I first came to the United States. And I want you to see how prophetic they are. 45 years ago, everybody wanted to be an American. Everybody admired America and her ways, because in those days, America was godly. And it says this, gather yourselves together, yea, gather together, O nation not desired. And God spoke to me, there's coming a day when America will be despised, and it's coming quickly. But he said, before the decree bring forth, before the day pass as a chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, and judgment is coming. We can see it now upon America. Before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you. Verse 3, this is what we are to do. And I want you to look at this verse with me. Chapter 2 and verse 3 of Zephaniah. It says, seek ye the Lord. Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought the judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. May be that ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. We have specific instructions here as to how we are to behave in this day and age, and what specifically we are to seek God for. We are to seek God for meekness. You know, I was in Jerusalem many years ago with a group, and we were traveling over the city, looking at the sites. We came to the tomb of Christ, and they went in, and they came out, and I went in alone, and I said, Lord, what are you like? And you know, I can tell you before God, over that empty tomb where he lay, I saw in letters of light the word meekness. Meekness. You know, in the book of Revelation, it speaks of those who follow the Lamb whithersoever he goes. What is the prime virtue or nature of a lamb? It is meekness. We're told in Isaiah 53 concerning Christ that as a lamb before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Meekness is the virtue which does not react against evil or injustice. And whom does the Lord send as his messengers? Oh, send the Lamb, Isaiah 16. Send the Lamb to the ruler of the world. In other words, God's messengers must be lamb-like. And we must cry out, oh God, work in me that beautiful virtue of meekness. Because, you see, it is the meek that have brought his judgment. They are to seek righteousness and meekness. In other words, there's a principle in the Word of God. To him that hath shall be given. And to whom will God give meekness? Those who are meek. To whom will God give righteousness? To those who are righteous. You notice what he said in the Sermon on the Mount. He said this. He said, blessed are ye that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Well, who hungers and thirsts after righteousness? 'Tis the righteous. And what did he promise them? He promised them that they would be filled with righteousness. To the pure in heart, he promised the gift of righteousness. And so, you see, we have to put our feet in the pathway of meekness and righteousness. And what is the result of that? It says this, it may be, ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. So, here we have a very specific warning, clear cut from God. Look, judgment is coming, before judgment, revival. But essentially, we are to seek these two virtues, that in the time of judgment, God will hide us. God will hide us. You know, Jeremiah the prophet was in Jerusalem, very wicked king. That wicked king sought to take his life. But Jeremiah had a secretary called Baruch. And Baruch used to write down the prophecies that came from the mouth of Jeremiah. But the king sought to kill those two men, to apprehend them, because their prophecies indeed impugned his own character. It showed that he was not living as he should have done. And you know, the wicked are very upset when their wickedness is rebuked. Well, for that he wanted to kill Jeremiah and Baruch. But what does it say? God hid them. God hid them. God hid them. And God will hide us in the times of trouble if we seek him for meekness and righteousness. Well, you know, Zephaniah is a very wonderful book. And he warns of judgment. And he warns also that in his days, the city of Jerusalem dwelt carelessly. And they said, well, I live in Jerusalem. I shall not be touched by God, because God will not destroy Jerusalem. Oh, no. God spoke through the prophets that he would indeed cause Jerusalem and Zion's hill to be just a heap. He would destroy it completely. No, they were placing their trust in the wrong thing. They were trusting in a city. They said, it doesn't matter how we live, God will look after us. Do you know there's a pernicious doctrine that is going around and has been going around, well, since I was young, and even before that, obviously, it was this, that once saved, you're always saved. In other words, if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, it doesn't matter how you live. Oh, no? That's exactly what Jerusalem was saying. We've offered up our offerings, we'll be all right. They dwelt carelessly. They dwelt carelessly. Do you know what the Apostle Paul says? In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he said, I keep my body under, lest having preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Oh, come now. Who was the Apostle Paul? One who had seen the Lord on the road to Damascus. One who had seen the third heaven, caught up to see things that were not lawful to be spoken of on this earth. He was the teacher of the church, the Gentiles. He wrote more than all others concerning the New Testament. Writer, preacher, apostle, teacher, pastor. And it was he who said, I keep my body under. I do not dwell carelessly like they were doing here in Jerusalem before their destruction. They were immoral. They were idolatrous. They were even murderers. They were thieves. They were extortioners. And the king was the worst of them, drunken, and loved to hear tales of wickedness. Oh, yes, it was to them that this prophecy was directed. And we have to be very careful, you know, as Christians, that we walk uprightly before God. And we do not turn to the right nor to the left, but we seek to continually walk on the pathway of righteousness, the pathway of light that gets more perfect unto the perfect day. No. Well, we continue with Zephaniah, and he speaks of this careful remnant. And he said in verse 12, I will also leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people, they shall trust in the name of the Lord. You know, the poor in spirit, they shall inherit the kingdom of God. It's these people who are different. And it says of them in verse 13 of chapter 3, the remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity, nor speak lies, neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth, for they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. Oh yes, this is a group that's going to be preserved in times of judgment. They are those seeking mercy. There are those that are seeking meekness, those that are seeking righteousness. And then, in verse 14, to this group, those who are seeking to please God, the prophet says, sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all thine heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord hath taken away thy judgments. Don't forget he's speaking to the people of God. Judgment will first begin in the house of God, the Apostle Peter said. But to those that seek to walk in a way that's pleasing God, God said, I'll take away your judgment. And he hath cast out thine enemy, the King of Israel, even the Lord is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil in any more. In that day it shall be said of Jerusalem, fear thou not. To Zion, let not thy hands be slack. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. Oh, isn't that wonderful? you know, to be an object of the joy of the Lord, to have our lives so in conformity with him that when he considers us, he rejoices in his heart. He will rejoice over thee with gladness. See, he will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. And he says this in verse 18. It's a sorrowful. Those who are sorrowful concerning the iniquities that are going on in the church and in the world today, those are they that are cared for by the Lord. And he says in verse 19, behold, at that time I will undo all that afflict thee. I will save her that haughteth, gather her that was driven out. I will get them praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame. And there you are. God will reverse our judgment as we will seek him. And may I just leave these closing words with you. Seek meekness, seek judgment. Seek to please the Lord, and he will preserve you in the times that are coming. And in so doing, you will be the object of his joy and gladness. And then, you see, he says, I will make you a name and a praise among all the people of the earth when I turn back your captivity. You may be despised, but God will turn that and cause you to be a praise to your neighbors and elsewhere when he turns back your captivity. Seek meekness, seek righteousness, that he will protect you.